Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, again, we're glad to have you with us today. We're continuing our series called The Bible Doesn't Say That. We looked last week at a common phrase that many people attribute to the Bible. But indeed, the Bible does not say that. Last week, we looked at the phrase that we've probably all heard in church, or maybe we've even said a time or two, that God won't give you more than you can handle. And we all know that that is not true. God will give us more than we can handle. We believe that that God will see us through that, that God will help us through it, that God, I guess the truthful statement and what we see in God's word is that God won't give us anything that he can't handle. That we can trust in him and lean on him. That there's a whole lot of things that I personally can't do, but I know that there's nothing that is too big for God. There's nothing that he can't handle. So today I want to take a look at another belief, not necessarily a saying, but a belief that is not found in God's word. But unfortunately, in my view, that has taken hold in many Christian circles and churches, is the basic idea of this. Obedience to God always leads to blessings. Obedience always leads to blessings, or obedience always leads to financial blessings. If you're obedient to God, the teaching is, if you're obedient to God, he will bless you financially. Now, you don't have to respond to this, but more specifically, you may have heard if you give X amount of dollars, God will bless you tenfold. If you give X, God will bless you Y. Now, I do not find that in my Bible. I do believe that God is a God who wants to bless us. I believe that God wants to show us favor. But many people paint a picture that an obedient Christian who is obedient to God, their life is going to be full of wealth, happiness, and relative ease. That if you're obedient to God, that everything is going to be wonderful, your life is going to be easy, and that you're just going to be living on easy street. I can't find that in the Bible. I don't see any such promise that if I'm just obedient to God, then my life is going to be easy. I do see in God's word that he will meet my needs. I do see that God will protect me. I do see that God will look out for me. But I don't see anywhere that God says that if you are obedient to my word, you follow me, then everything is going to be easy. That your bank account is always going to have more than you need at the end of the month. I do see, however, that God will bless us, that he will make times of abundance in our lives. But just because we're Christ followers, just because we believe in Jesus, does not mean that life is always going to be easy. Take a look at Paul. Paul, many would argue, was one of the greatest and most faithful believers in Jesus. He was a great man of faith. I don't think many people would argue that. I mean, he's a man who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, that he was faithful to God. That, I mean, this is a man who was the one chasing after Christians and throwing them in jail and persecuting them, has an encounter with Jesus, and has completely turned his life around. He is a great man of faith. But if you look through 2 Corinthians, and we don't have the time today, but if you just look through 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul describes a life of hardship and difficulty. He talks about the times, with an S, times he was in prison. I have yet to find myself in prison because of the gospel. And he talks about the times that he was in prison. The number of times that he was flogged and exposed to death, as we looked at last week, over and over again. He received lashes, beating with rods, stoned 3 times, shipwrecked, and if that wasn't enough, he is under immense pressure because he is ultimately trying to build and establish churches wherever he's going. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime you're trying to run or establish an organization, there's pressure that comes along with that. And so He doesn't live in the world that we do, where he can text and send emails to the churches and, hey guys, how you doing? He's having to write letters, hearing back from people, and so he's got this pressure going, man, I want to make sure these churches are successful. They're staying true to God's word, and I'm getting reports of this, and I'm getting reports of that, and then on top of it, he's dealing with his own issues. That is a lot of pressure to deal with. It paints a picture of somebody who was not living a comfortable life every single day. It doesn't paint a picture of somebody that was wealthy and always had a relatively easy life. Paul was faithful to God. He was obedient to his word, but yet he faced many challenges, many hardships, many obstacles. Just because we put our faith in Jesus does not mean blessings, financial blessings, relative ease is going to come into our lives. So let's take a deeper look at this. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read a couple verses here today. And one of the verses you probably have highlighted in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. How many of you have verse 13 highlighted in your Bible? Be honest, we're in church. I'm going to come back to that one. In this passage, Paul talks about the times in his personal life when he has experienced hard times, when he's had abundance and when he's had lack. And we need to understand that just because we're followers of Christ, that does not mean our life is always going to be easy or that we're always going to live in abundance. There are times that we are going to face difficult challenges, and there are times that we're going to have little. It can be discouraging, quite honestly, in those times. It can be discouraging because we can look at other people, other believers, and go, why don't I have what they have? Why am I living in lack? I'm a believer. I go to church. I read my Bible, and I'm obedient. Why don't I have what they have? It can be discouraging when we're living in lack or a lack of what we feel like we should have, and looking at other people's lives who are fellow believers, and we can become discouraged. God, why don't I have what they have? It's important that we not play the comparison game with others. Often, we don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You see, when we compare our lives with other people's highlight reels, that causes problems. And what I mean by this is with the advent of social media, you can scroll through Facebook, and you can see all the wonderful pictures that your friends and family have taken, all right? And they're at Disney World, or they're at the Strawberry Festival, or they're here, or they're there, or they're off on some jet-setting, you know, cruise, or they're in Cancun on a trip, or whatever. You see the snapshot. You see the highlights of their life. And you look at your life, and your kids are a mess. The laundry's piled up to the roof, and you've got negative in the bank. What is going on? Why isn't my life like theirs? You're seeing the highlight reel. You're seeing only what a portion of their life is. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. How many times have you been on a trip with your family and you try to get that family photo, especially if you've got little kids or grandkids? How many pictures, how many pictures does it take to get everybody smiling? More than one, I bet. You're probably there for 10 or 15 minutes, and then you finally get the perfect picture, and then that's the one you post, right? You post the highlight. You don't post the one of the kid with his finger in his nose, or the one doing bunny ears, or the one crying or turning and pouting because they don't want to smile. You delete all of those, or you crop them out of the picture. I've never done that. Everybody's going to go through my pictures now and see what the kids... With the rise and the advent of social media, this comparison trap has been higher than it ever has been before, especially among believers, that we look at our life and go, why isn't my life like theirs? Why don't I have what they have? We see all the wonderful things that they're doing, and God, it seems like I'm living in lack, or I don't have everything that they have, and we unfairly compare our lives with their lives. We become unhappy. We even get mad and frustrated because their life seems so wonderful and comfortable, and yet we're living and we're suffering. In reality, though, we have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know the challenges that they're facing. While appearances may look fine, we don't know what's going on when they go home. There is a family that was attending our church, and they were all, you know, all things considered, they were a great family. You see the highlight reel. Everything was great. They had beautiful kids. You know, husband and wife seemed to get along all the time. They had all the, you know, they'd take vacations together. They were at church every Sunday, smile, serving in the children's ministry, being involved, all that. I thought they were the perfect family. When I looked at them, I said, man, everything is going great with them. There is not a problem or care in the world with them. Until one day, I had a counseling meeting, and it was revealed that the marriage was hanging on by threads, that husband and wife were not seeing eye to eye on anything. Husband wanted to do this, wife wanted to do that. What once was love and companionship had now turned into bitterness and envy. So the point of divorce was even discussed. And I just sat going, that doesn't make sense. You guys seem perfect. Yeah, everybody thinks it is, but it's not. Just because something looks good on the outside doesn't mean that it is. So when we play the comparison game and go, their life is wonderful, they're so blessed, we truly don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And it's unfair if we compare our lives with their lives. It's like that game, Bean Boozled. Has anybody ever heard of that or played that game? Caution, if you're going to play that game. Basically, it's this. If you've never played it before, it's jelly beans. But the jelly beans have a different flavor than what you might expect. All right? So basically, here are some of the flavors if you play Bean Boozled. All right? Your typical jelly bean flavors are, you know, apple and cherry and grape or whatever, okay? In Bean Boozled, there is stinky socks. That's not even. Lawn clippings. How is that a taste? I mean, but it is lawn clippings. It gets better. Rotten eggs, skunk spray, and canned dog food. Just to name a few. There's more. All right, those are just a couple of them. And so the basic idea behind the game is you take these jelly beans, and this red one, that's gonna be cherry. You pop it in your mouth and you eat it, and it's canned dog food. Bah. Do not play that game if you have a weak stomach. Just forewarning. But the idea behind it is, yeah, everything looks great on the outside. This looks like a perfectly good jelly bean. And then you put it in your mouth. Ooh, disgusting. So many times in life, we look at somebody and we look at their life and everything must be perfect. But we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We know what's going on in our life. We know the B footage, not the highlight reel, but the B footage in our life, but we only look at their highlight reel, and we become discouraged. Your walk with God is going to be different from other believers. Your walk with God is going to be different from other believers. It truly is like comparing apples to oranges. We should not do it. But the enemy would have us do that to play this comparison game so we get discouraged, and God, you don't love me. I thought I was supposed to be blessed. Why are you blessing them and not me? We have to understand things are going to be different for all believers. We see a great man of faith like Paul, he dealt with difficult times. If anybody should have had an easy life, it should have been Paul, right? But he didn't. He went through tremendous difficulties. But what assisted Paul was the knowledge that God was with him. And I don't see him comparing his life to other believers. Well, God, you're not going to use me like this, so I'm just going to sit back in jail and I'm not going to do anything. He understood that there's going to be a challenge that he's facing that maybe other believers wouldn't. Our peace in any situation comes from the knowledge that God is in control no matter what we're facing. It may be hard to find peace in those situations in the middle of the storms that are raging, but ultimately our knowledge and the peace comes from the knowledge that God is in control. That I don't need to compare my life to somebody else's. I don't need to worry about their life. I just need to worry about my walk with God. But the enemy would have us compare our lives and say, well, you're not favored, you're not blessed, and get us all in a tizzy and all huffed up. We need not concern ourselves with other people's lives. Our lives are constantly changing. Our situations are evolving. We're in a state of flux and a state of movement. And the only thing that gets us through the good times and the bad times is knowing that God is in control of my life no matter what it may look like. No matter what their life may look like, I know, God, you're in control of my life. And ultimately, that's what Paul is trying to convey in this passage. Now, getting to verse 13. Verse 13 is probably one of our just rah-rah verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? There's a song about it. Last night, we were going out, and there's a song about it. And it's just one of those verses that we hold on to. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but I want to give a little bit of perspective. You see, we see it as a verse believing that Christ is on our side, which he is. But sometimes we see it that it means we're going to have success in everything that we do. And that's not what this verse is implying. Actually, Paul is saying the opposite of that. Paul is saying, I can handle the good times and the bad times, the successes and the failures of life, because he relies on Christ for strength. That it's not just everything I touch is going to turn into gold because Christ is on my side. It's knowing that when I go through the bad times, because Paul was just talking about that, that he's gone through the times of abundance, the times of lack. I've gone through the difficulties, and I know that it's Christ's strength that sustains me. That he is the one that's going to get me through. I can go through this because of the strength of Christ. There were times that Paul was facing hunger. And it could have been very easy for God to grant him the simple request of turning stone into bread. But he didn't. What God did give him was the strength to sustain that hardship that he was facing. That Paul relied on Christ's strength to get him through that. And there are many times that I know you could just plop down $100,000 right now. I know you could just, put on somebody's heart to send me a check for $50,000. Yeah, he could. But maybe he's wanting us to lean on Christ for strength to get us through what we're facing. We want the easy life. I do. I'm not going to go up here, God, just, make me go. I want an easy life. I want everything to be happy and wonderful. But when I look at God's word, that's not something that I know is always going to be. That there are going to be times of challenges. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be seasons of challenge in my life. But through those seasons of hardships and trials, we have to learn to depend on Christ to give us the strength through that trial. It's in those seasons of difficulties that our faith is built and our strength in Jesus is sustained. It's important that we understand this fact because as believers in Jesus, it does not mean life is always going to be wonderful. It doesn't mean that we're always going to have seasons of abundance. It means we're going to face challenges. And the harm with teaching that says otherwise is this, is that if you are taught to believe that if you're a follower of Christ, you're obedient to God, you come to church and do your thing and everything is going to be wonderful, the challenge with that teaching is the moment you have a difficulty or a hardship comes in your life, you're going to start doubting God. God, where are you? Or what have I done wrong? What great sin have I committed? I must be doing something wrong. If you're not blessing me, if my car is broken down and my kids are failing in school and everything in my business is falling apart, I must be doing something wrong. You must not love me anymore because I'm supposed to be blessed in everything that I do and everything's supposed to be wonderful and easy. If we're believing that, then we are not, we don't have an understanding of God's word. People may doubt their faith in God because of the hardships they walk through. Had Paul not been secure in his theology of God, he might have felt shame when he was going through those difficulties. He may have felt guilt when he was imprisoned through the floggings, the shipwrecks, and all the other trials he faced. God, I must not be living up to your standards. I must not be doing everything because I thought everything was supposed to be wonderful, and now here I am in prison, and the churches seem like they're falling apart, and so I must be doing something wrong. You must not love me. But Paul didn't have that knowledge of God. He knew that he's going to face times of abundance, but he's going to face times of lack as well. But through that, Christ was the one that sustained him. That his strength came from God. Maybe you have been facing a challenge in your life. Or maybe you have faced challenges and doubted God. God, what? I must be doing something wrong. You must not love me. You must not care about me because everything's falling apart. God never promised everything was going to be easy. And I cannot stand here and preach this message, cannot preach the gospel any other way. I wish I could stand up here and say, guys, it's going to be wonderful. God's going to bless you. Don't worry about it. Just give everything to God and he'll take it all under control. You'll never have a problem. I can't promise you that. But what I can promise you is that he will strengthen you no matter what you're facing, no matter what adversity, no matter what trial, that you can lean on the strength of Christ to get you through it. And that's ultimately Paul's point in all of this. Not just because we believe in Jesus, that everything's going to be wonderful, but no matter what I'm going through, I can go through this, and I can be content in it because of the strength of Jesus. It's the strength of Jesus that allows us to go through the good times and the bad times. It's Christ who gives us the strength that we need, and no matter what situation we face. Ultimately, we need to depend more on him and less of ourselves. Obedience to God does not mean life is automatically going to be easy. Obedience to his word does not automatically mean that you will never face a hardship or trial in your life. Obedience to God does mean that he will be there with you no matter what you face. Obedience to God is a knowledge that no matter what I face, I know I'm not doing this alone. Obedience to God is a knowledge that I can't do this on my own strength, but I know I can lean on you, Jesus, to get me through this. The Bible doesn't say our lives are going to be full of comfort and ease. We're never going to go through a challenge. But the Bible does say that we can find strength to endure whatever hardship or challenge we're facing because of Christ who is with us. That's what the Bible says. And unfortunately, we've been led astray to think otherwise. But it's important that we know what God's word says. That just because you're facing a challenge or difficulty does not mean that you're a terrible person, that God doesn't love you, that God will never help you. It simply means we need to trust in Jesus. We need to check our hearts, make sure we're not living in some sin that maybe we're not aware of, and allow the Holy Spirit to check us. But Paul was confident in reading through his words that he understood who God was, and he understood that he was faithful to God and his word, but yet he was going through some challenges. And he knew he couldn't do it alone, but he can only do it through Christ who gave him strength. And that's what we can hold on to today. So all across the room, if you would stand and join with me this morning. This isn't an easy message to preach. Let me be honest with you. I wish I could get up here today and say, man, you just be obedient to God. Serve Jesus with all your heart and life's going to be easy. I wish I could make that promise. But if I did, I would not be doing my job. My job is to equip the saints for the ministry. And there are going to be some challenges as we're doing what God has called us to do. We're going to face some adversities and some challenges. And that's okay. It's biblical. We're going to face some challenges. But as we navigate our way through them, the important thing for us to do is to grab on and a hold of Jesus and say, you are the one that's going to strengthen me through this. And maybe you're here today going through one of those challenges. And I want to pray for you today. So all across the room, if you would close your eyes, bow your heads. If you're here today and maybe you have been facing some tough times, and maybe you've even questioned God, why? Is my life so different than everybody else? I serve you, I love you, and I just, my life doesn't, they look so blessed. Maybe today stop playing the comparison game and just focus on your walk with God. God, today I'm just going to focus on me and you. If you're blessing somebody else, that is great. Bless them. but I'm just going to focus on myself and my walk with you. And I need more of you, Jesus, in my life. I need your strength to sustain me. Because maybe there is a difficulty, a hardship that you're facing. Maybe not to the level of Paul's and being in jail and prison for your faith, but you're just facing some challenges, some hardships. God, give me strength today. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe that's what you just have to say every moment of every day. I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus, I need your strength right now to get me through this. I'm trusting in you to get me through this time. God's word does promise that he will meet our needs. Some days it may not feel like it, but we're promised that, and we can stand on that word, that he will take care of us. Sometimes we just need his strength to get us through it. Father, for anybody in this place today that is dealing with this, God, I hope and I pray that they walk out of here today knowing that they can trust on you, knowing that they can lean into your strength, that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but we would rely on you through Christ who gives me strength. Precious Jesus, we thank you that we don't have to go through this life alone, that you're with us every step of the day. You're there when we're standing on the mountaintop, and you're right there next to us in the valley. You will sustain us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.